is Jessica.
And this is Claire.
And this is Only Heard a Little.
Today we're talking to Danica. Danica has Hashimoto's disease. Hashimoto's disease is a condition in which your immune system attacks your thyroid, a small gland at the base of your neck below your Adam's apple. The thyroid gland is part of your endocrine system, which produces hormones that coordinate many of your body's functions.
We hope you enjoy today's episode, and we hope you
stay alive.
Hello, Danica. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. We're excited to have you today and learn all about Hashimoto's. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
That's correct.
If you want to start at the beginning of your journey, we'd love to hear your story.
Yeah. Well, so my journey has a lot of layers to it.
As many do, I feel like. Yeah.
A lot of just kind of figuring it out and finally getting that diagnosis, because there was many years where I had so many symptoms and just didn't know what it was. Like, it just felt normal, as I'm sure you guys can relate, where you just think that's just normal.
Sure. Other people are feeling this way.
Exactly. Yeah, you're like, this is just how I feel. I've always felt this way. What do you mean? Yeah.
What things were you noticing?
So when I look back now, like, kind of knowing what it is, a lot of the symptoms I had were like fatigue, mostly during like adolescent years. High school, college is when it really kind of started showing up to me. But just feeling a lot of fatigue, or even simple things of like, I'm cold all the time. Like, that is a symptom of Hashimoto's, and I'm just legit cold. And even playing like volleyball in high school, we'd be running outside in like 100 degree weather, and I wouldn't break a sweat. Like, my friends would all kind of tease me, like, why are you not sweating? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm hot, I'm tired, but I just would never sweat.
Yeah.
Like, I legit have not sweat until like last year was the first drip of sweat I've ever had in my life from like a workout, you know? So things like that, and acne, which, I mean, a lot of the symptoms that like you see with Hashimoto's seem like normal things when you're relating it to life, right? So like teenage years, like you have acne, but it's not normal for it to continue like in your 20s, right? Like that's when it started kind of. I started noticing it of like, well, why do I still have acne? Like, in my 20s, like, I shouldn't be experiencing this still.
Yeah.
So a lot of those, you know, things where I look back and I'm like, oh, yeah, I definitely had something going on. Sleeping 10 to 12 hours a day and then also taking a nap throughout the day, like, isn't normal. But I totally thought it was in college, because you're a college student. You're busy all the time and tired.
And that had to have been really hard in college to be feeling that way.
Oh, yeah.
And to try and function with such extreme fatigue has to be really difficult.
And being an athlete on top of that.
Oh, yeah. And it honestly, with Hashimoto's too, it's something that you don't really know that you have. Like, it's not, you know, something drastic happens, you're like, oh, something's wrong with me, I need to go check it out. It's kind of like a slow drip until it gets worse and worse and worse. And then you really start to notice the symptoms. And so even at that time, it felt minimal, but still like, oh, somewhat concerning of like, I shouldn't be this tired, you know, but it wasn't ever something I thought of, oh, I should look into this, right?
Was anyone ever saying anything to you? Like, why are you always so, no.
No. Nothing. And it was kind of like, no one really, you know, noticed, because it's just at home with my family or something, you know, it's just not something you really look into. Yeah.
And so what happened that you said, okay, I need to figure out what's going on? Was it the acne?
It wasn't. I honestly didn't.
I feel like sometimes those are the things you're like, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't handle it anymore, my acne.
And it totally should have been, because even in addition to that, like, kind of hormonal reaction, like, I never had regular periods either. Like, there'd be months I just wouldn't have one. And
you were like, this is normal. It's just like,
yeah, whatever. Like, I just thought, because I was always
have an irregular period.
Yeah. And I was always petite. And so I thought like, oh, I guess I just don't, you know, get normal periods or whatever. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it wasn't until, you know, I was pregnant with my second child that I discovered, you know, what it was. But even looking at when I was pregnant the first time around, and a big symptom is like puffy face, just kind of, you look kind of swollen. Yeah. And I gained like 60 pounds with that first pregnancy. And that is a lot for someone who's not that big, you know?
Yeah.
And I was so swollen and miserable, like in pain, swollen. Mm-hmm. But you could tell on my face, like I look at pictures. Oh, I definitely, I was like struggling right there and didn't even know it.
Didn't even realize. Thought it was a normal symptom.
Right. Because when you're pregnant, you're tired. You know, even post, you know, after that, like a year and a half later, I actually got diagnosed with postpartum depression. Depression is another symptom of Hashimoto's. Yeah. So that's kind of been like my journey of all these symptoms have been coming out and they look like something else, which yes, like depression is a part of Hashimoto's that you can experience when you're like in a flare up. But you would just identify it as like depression if you didn't know that you had Hashimoto's. So I was like being treated for depression during that time, like on antidepressants. And really, I think what triggered that was stopping breastfeeding, because a year and a half after to have postpartum depression seems pretty like
delayed,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Which it's common, like that could happen, right? But I see now like it was definitely a hormonal switch, because stopping breastfeeding and your hormones are kind of like elevated, because with Hashimoto's it's very related to hormones, your pituitary gland. There's a lot of functions it's related to. So there's a lot of things that could trigger it. And so got diagnosed with that. And then we were trying for our second and got pregnant. And that's another interesting thing, is that it's hard to get pregnant when you're Hashimoto's. But
really?
Somehow that hasn't necessarily been an issue. But when we first got pregnant, we ended up having a miscarriage after 6 weeks.
Oh.
And that's a part of it as well.
And that's got to be really difficult.
Oh yeah. And especially not knowing at the time. You're just like, what the heck's going on? Like what is wrong with my body, right? You know?
Yeah.
Going through depression, now I'm miscarrying, like there's something happening.
Something wrong.
Right. And then we ended up getting pregnant soon after that. And that's when my doctor did some normal blood work, just like in normal pregnancy blood work, saw that my TSH levels were off.
And this is your second child.
Yes.
Is it a different doctor?
Nope, same doctor.
But that test hadn't been run before, or do you think they weren't quite looked at?
So the thing with Hashimoto's is it's kind of like that slow drip. It just progressively gets worse and worse over time. So when I was pregnant the first time, I don't think it was caught. One, because they're only testing for TSH levels, and there's so many other parts of a thyroid panel test that needs to be done if you were looking at Hashimoto's. So they're not going to run that normally.
Yeah.
So it probably would have shown up if my doctor was like, I'm going to do a full thyroid panel test on you.
Yeah.
But at the time, there was no clear reason for them to run that test.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's kind of, I mean, I know from my experience with blood panels, and I think for the future for my kids, I think that it's going to be vital to get like, we just need a basic blood panel at like age 18 and then get it again. Because by the time I needed a blood panel just to check everything, it was like things may look in the normal range, but you don't know what your normal actually is, because nobody's keeping track of that before until you're actually ill and you need to look at things. So it's like maybe it was like a slow drip, but before that your base level was completely different. And yet still in the normal range with your first pregnancy.
Totally.
So your second pregnancy results are not looking good.
Yeah. So she actually diagnosed me with hypothyroidism, which is kind of like a result of Hashimoto's. So when it gets so bad, it turns into hypothyroidism. But people can have hypothyroidism without having Hashimoto's.
Okay.
So the definition of that is really just that your thyroid isn't producing enough of the hormone it needs. And it could be for several reasons. But when it comes to Hashimoto's, your body is actually attacking your thyroid, thinking it's a foreign object. So it creates antibodies, just like if you were sick, right? It attacks a virus that's foreign in your body to try and help you get better. Well, it thinks your thyroid is, you know, this foreign object. So it attacks it. And it limits the ability to produce that hormone that's necessary for metabolism, your mood, all kind of basic functions of your body.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she started me on levothyroxine, which is a synthetic hormone that you would take to replace what's missing. And so at that point, I just thought I had hypothyroidism. And they said that, you know, during pregnancy, that's pretty common. People will have it and then it'll go away after. Well, the issue was, is it wasn't going away.
Yeah.
And they were testing me every 6 weeks and it was just getting worse. Like
as your pregnancy was going on, your numbers were getting worse.
Yes. They were getting higher and like they kept having to increase my dosage. And then even after pregnancy, it was still continuing. So it got to a point, like, kind of a year after having my second, I was like, hey, this doesn't seem right. Like, it's still going. I thought it would be gone by now, you know.
Yeah. Or at least well-managed.
Exactly. Because it was, like, every 6 weeks it was changing. And so that's kind of frustrating.
That's a lot.
Right? To change your dosage every 6 weeks.
Yeah, because there's that adjustment period where, oh, you're not going to be feeling well or you're going to be feeling...
And then at what point does it get to, okay, like, we've gone up as high as we can, now what?
Right, right. And so... And yeah, you're right. Like, just that period of, like, 4 to 6 weeks till your body adjusts to a new...
It's like
you're never off of it. Exactly. And you're never getting to a consistency. You know what I mean? And so when I approached my... It was my OB that actually, like, you know, I went to and I was like, what's going on? You know? And so she was like, well, it seems like you might have an autoimmune disease. So let's get you tested for further blood work. And let's also do an ultrasound on your thyroid and see if it's enlarged or inflamed. And sure enough, results came back and showed that my thyroid was inflamed. It was enlarged. And then they tested for a full thyroid panel and showed that my numbers were off for, like, my T4 and showed that I had antibodies, meaning, like, my body was being it was attacking itself.
Okay, and
right?
That causes the inflammation.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
And so...
What type of antibodies?
I don't know the names. There's, like, two different types.
But, you know, it's like now we are talking so much more recently about antibodies when it comes to COVID and everything. So it's like, what kind of antibodies are these? But they're essentially, like, a Hashimoto type of antibody.
Yeah.
That something that Hashimoto's would create to attack your thyroid.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And so, and that's what makes it really hard, like, when I get sick... I get sick, like, 10 times worse than if my kids had the same sickness.
Yeah. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
And your body is already busy trying to attack something else.
Exactly.
All your cells are doing a job they shouldn't be doing when they should be helping you heal.
Exactly. So it makes it harder to recover as well. And then that alone causes a flare-up. So then now you're having to recover from that flare-up.
What are your flare-ups like?
So fatigue is my number one. Acne is one. I mean, mostly it's the fatigue. Depression is, like, another one, too. I just had a really bad one of depression this last fall.
Yeah.
So those are kind of my trigger points. Like, I know, like, oh, something's off right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then she had diagnosed me that I had Hashimoto's and then referred me to an endocrinologist. And when I went... Before going to that appointment, I started doing a bunch of research. You know, I'm like, what is this? Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of this strange disorder.
Yeah.
And, you know, going into it, I felt really prepared of like, okay, I'm going to ask this doctor all these questions. Like, I had done my research on like diet could help, you know, with healing some of the symptoms or just like restrict flare-ups from happening, as well as like supplements and stuff. And so I was going in prepared to ask my questions, and when she met with me, she looked at my blood work and looked at me, and she was like, you know what, your dosage is way too high for your weight, like, we need to lower you. I was like, okay, I trust you. And then I asked her, you know, about diet, like, is there anything I should not eat or anything that I can eat that would help with this? And she said, no, you just need to take your medication. And right then I kind of felt like, well, that sounds weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, I thought a doctor would be more supportive of like trying a bunch of different approaches to help with it. And so I left there just kind of trusting the process because this was still so new to me. And then after about a few weeks of being on that lower dose, I literally felt like I was dying. I mean, the fatigue, when you talk about fatigue, and I don't know if this is something you guys experience with what you have, but it's not just like, oh, I feel tired or I just need a cup of coffee. Like, I felt like a zombie.
Yeah, you feel like you cannot function.
I can't function. Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'd be playing.
It's exhausting to feel that exhausted. And I think it's really difficult. I mean, sometimes I wish, you know how they have those, like, machines for men to, like, experience contractions? I feel like they had something like, you could just step into my body for a second and feel, because it's really hard to understand when you don't experience that fatigue. And I definitely didn't understand for Claire what it was like when, like, she would have a 7-minute drive and she would be passed out, mouth open in the car.
Yeah.
I mean, that tired.
My mom would be bringing me to school and I'd be, like, dead in the car in the 5-minute drive to school.
Yeah, oh, she'd send us pictures all the time. But I didn't know because I had never experienced that. And then once I got sick, I was like, this is not anything I thought it was by any means. I mean, it's so, it's like even your brain function and brain fog is affected because you're just so tired because your body inside is like running a marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would be like sitting on the floor playing with my son and be totally like, I couldn't comprehend what he was saying. I'd be, like, zoned out. Just, like, I couldn't form sentences. And even because depression is another big one for me, like, I would have to text my husband and say, I need you to check on me. I need you. I'm feeling, like, really lonely. I'm just, like, I just need you to check on me. Because it was starting to get kind of scary.
Yeah.
And so I called my doctor and for 3 weeks left messages and couldn't get a hold of anyone at my doctor's office.
That's so frustrating.
And was so frustrated because I'm like, you feel like you're dying. You really feel like you can't function in normal life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating and hard. And so I finally called and said I was a new patient in order to get a hold of somebody.
And that's when they called you back.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
Wow. Yes, I know. And so I told them I need blood work, like now, like yesterday.
Yeah.
And so they got me in. And then sure enough, she was like, oh, yeah, your levels are way off. We need to put you back at what you came in on. And I'm like, you know, yeah, I'm gonna go somewhere else. I'm going to look into something else because, and I kind of gave her my 2 cents.
Good for you. How I felt. I think people need to know that because you're trusting them. You're putting your health in their hands and they don't care.
Right. And that's what I said. I'm like, I need better care. Like, I called for weeks and it already takes weeks to kind of adjust to a new medication. Yeah. So even knowing that, I'm like, I still have another 3 weeks till I start feeling better from this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I started taking it kind of into my own hands and really looking into the foods I could eat or avoid that would help. And so there's a lot of key ones like gluten. I think that's pretty common in a lot of just autoimmune or other like illnesses to avoid. Dairy is one of them, but
definitely.
I've always been lactose intolerant anyway, so that wasn't an issue. But, you know, and really trying to look for, like, whole foods and feeding my body good unprocessed things. And so I did paleo for a while, and there's, like, an autoimmune protocol diet, which is kind of a type of paleo, but it's really extreme. Like, I mean, you're looking at condiment ingredients and, like, it was kind of stressing me out. And stress is, like, one of those things with
trigger.
Where you don't want to have because then you'll experience flare-ups. Yeah. So it's, like, you know, you have to find the balance of just, like, what works for you. Cut out what you can, but don't overwhelm yourself to the point of, like, causing flare-ups, when you're trying to heal yourself.
It's like a vicious cycle. It's like, I'm in pain, and it causes stress, and then that causes pain, and that causes stress, and you're just like, what can I eliminate that really isn't that important in my life as far as, like, you know, reading the condiment ingredients.
Totally. Like, I was becoming obsessive about it, and I was like, you know, we need just, like, you know, take it down
what
a notch,
doing?
Right?
Yeah.
And then that's when I also found a good naturopath doctor who's been amazing and just helping me even, like, find supplements that help and really worked with me. Like, I think it was, like, a doctor to listen to me and hear how I was experiencing in my body, right? Like, not just the numbers on the sheet, but also how I was feeling.
Yeah.
And so that's been just a huge turning point, is finding a doctor who's going to advocate for you and listen to you and be able to offer, like, what you're asking, right? Like, because I wanted more additional things than just medication.
Yeah.
I want to look into diet. I want to look into...
You want to do anything you can to feel better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of... I mean, that leads me to even where I am now. and experiencing this, and this has probably been the most level I've been in just this whole experience.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's one of those things that you're still like, you still have flare-ups, and some of them are unavoidable.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of the unfortunate reality.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you have yeah. an autoimmune disease.
Your body is just, I mean, it's working. It's a constant fight. And sometimes it just is like, okay, I quit for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's a chronic illness, but I know that a lot of people who have like hypo or hyper, all the different thyroid disorders, there's a possibility of removing a thyroid. Is that something that they use in Hashimoto's to treat Hashimoto's?
Yeah, so if you do remove your thyroid, that's totally a thing. If you're like, you know, I'm tired of the fluctuation, trying to figure out my dosage, and it's going up and down all the time, like,
right.
That's a possibility. However, you'll be on medication, like,
the rest
whole
of your
life. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, either way, I think if you do have Hashimoto's, you'll probably be on medication for a majority. Like,
yeah.
There's arguments out there that you can heal it with just diet and supplements alone.
There's arguments for all chronic,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
It's like every once in a while we'll get a comment on like, and I feel like it's a robo bot of some sort, and it's like, I was cured, and I'm like,
yeah. I get DMs all the time that's like, I cured migraines, and I'm like, get out of here.
Like, no. I wish, but not yet.
Yeah. And it's like, you look at their page and all their pages is just them saying that on random people's other Twitters, and
yeah.
you're like, okay.
Right. Yeah. And more power to them if they can. Like,
yeah.
if they figure that out,
fantastic.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But everybody's body's different. Everybody's level
right.
of, like, intensity of it is different, you know?
Yeah. So you take hormones all the time. What is that like? How does that affect the rest of your life? Because I know, like, the fluctuation of hormones. I've had hormone issues my whole mm-hmm. life. And I'm on estrogen and things like that. And it's not always the most fun to be on hormones all the time. So
yeah.
what is that experience like?
Yeah, so, I mean, I take my pills every morning without
yeah.
food. You have to wait an hour.
Oh,
that's
wow.
probably, like, the hardest part.
Yeah.
Because the first thing a mom needs in the morning is coffee.
Yeah.
And I have to wait a whole hour. I'm like, this feels like the longest hour of my life.
And you're already fatigued. Yeah.
Right? Exactly. I'm like, I'm already tired. This is the worst part of the day for me.
It's almost like, should I, like, wake up, take my pill, go back to bed,
right.
wake up, then start my day.
Yeah. And I've definitely done that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so now more recently, I'm on 2 hormone, you know, medications for my thyroid, okay. especially after this last fall mm-hmm. from having a cold. A simple cold, right?
Yeah. It just takes you out.
Oh, it was probably the worst flare-up I've ever had. And it took 3 months. For me
to recover,
not, and I'm not saying that in the sense of, like, I still had the cold for 3 months. No, like, recovering with my Hashimoto's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It took 3 months because we were trying to figure out, like,
your whole body just
yeah,
reacts
exactly.
to what's happening.
And the blood work and, like, the time it takes to do all that. And so it showed that I was off, and I've never been off in my T3. It's always been just my T4 levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably gibberish to a lot of people that
yeah.
don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm now taking a medication for that to help with it, as well as there's been, like, more recent studies of using a low-dose naltrexone.
Okay.
And I don't know if you've heard of...
We've both actually tried it.
Yeah.
Did it work for you guys?
Okay, so I would say for me, I was taking it primarily for pain and headaches, mm-hmm. and it did help. However, I noticed for myself, my family also noticed that, like, I'm already, like, on a zombie level, you know, with fatigue, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it put me to, like, a whole other
it was like
zombie
there was just
level.
Nothing there.
It was like no one was,
like,
in,
talking
inside
to a piece
of
glass.
Me.
Like,
oh my God. So it really helped with the pain and the migraines and the constant just, you know, progressively throughout the day, it would be, like, a headache, and then by the, you know, later afternoon, it would be a migraine, and so it stopped that, but it seemed to, like, because it's a receptor blocker, it seemed to, like, block every, for me, I just seemed hypersensitive.
And then I had the opposite, where I was just wired all the time, like, I could not sleep. I would just be up, like, not thinking about anything, just, like, just there, awake, and no matter what I did, I couldn't, like, shut my brain off and be like, go to sleep. Like, and I started it taking it at night, because for most people, it makes them a little drowsy. And mm-hmm. so I started at night, and then I was like, I'm not sleeping at all. Like, I am sitting up until it's time to go to work, and then I go to work, and I come home, and I still can't sleep. And she's like, let's switch to the morning. So I did it in the morning, and I was like, okay, no, I still can't sleep. Like, I would feel tired, like my body was like, felt like it was shutting down, but I could not turn the brain off. Like, it's a very strange feeling. Yeah. And it's funny because we had like polar opposite experiences. So, I don't know. I've heard of it being really successful for people.
Yeah, and it really did work for me with my pain and my headaches.
It's worked really well for our dad. Our dad takes it for migraines, and it's been, like, the best thing that he's been on, and it's helped him the most.
Yeah.
It's funny how, like, your body's so sensitive, and everybody reacts so differently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, my body is sensitive to vitamins that my doctor has, like, told me to take to help with, you know, some of the symptoms and whatnot. And, totally. Like, I have to be really careful because I get upset stomachs with a lot of those things. And I think a lot of it is, like, too much of it. Like, it's too much for my body.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of a bummer, too, because you're like, okay, this is supposed to be helping me. But, it's, like, causing other issues at the same time. But, yeah, the low-dose naltrexone, I made the mistake of taking that during the day the first time.
Okay.
And I felt like I was high. I felt like I was, like, drunk, like, high. Like, I felt like I was going to throw up. Like, I don't know if, like, you had that experience at all, but that was, like, what it felt like.
I felt so weird. Like, it's almost outer body where you're, like, I, like, my body feels like it's shutting down. I'm exhausted, but my brain's, like, blah, 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 going and going, and I can't, like, just calm down.
That's crazy.
Yeah, very weird experience.
Oh, yeah.
Very weird experience.
I've been able to sleep with it, like, if I take it at night, you know? And that, really, that was to help with a lot of the depression that I was experiencing.
Because
it was just, like, it was so bad that, like, I had to call into work. I'm like, I can't work. I can't function. I would literally, like, go drive places and just go sit in my car in an empty parking lot and just cry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this isn't normal,
we've all
right?
been there. Yeah.
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 Totally. And you, there. It's hard to, I think because I've lived my life longer not knowing that I've had this, that it's easy to just think, oh, like, I'm just sad because of XYZ, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you can associate with anything, and it's really, I don't know why I haven't gotten used to it even by now of, like, well, it's related to the Hashimoto's, obviously. It's a symptom, so something must be off with my levels. That should be, like, my go-to, like, the first thing you look at.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think it's so easy to identify it as these just depression, right? Like, I'm just experiencing that, as opposed to looking at the root issue of
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that makes it, I still feel the same way, where I am, like, someone recommended a book called Radical Acceptance, and I haven't got, it's, like, on my Libby app on hold, and I haven't gotten it yet, but, like, I feel like, for me personally, I'm still in that, like, okay, this is my life and acceptance, and I need to, like, learn the routine and set it up, or, like, Claire is definitely much better at, like, recognizing.
Yeah, I'm just kind of like, oh, this is just, like, something I have, and, like, it made me and I'm just gonna, like, live with it, and I'm, like, very open about telling my story. If anybody, I'm, like, my brother makes fun of us, because, like, anytime anybody else has, like, similar symptoms,
he's like, oh, gosh, here we go again, you're
gonna diagnose somebody, and I have, but
oh
I've been, like, I have a friend who, is from the same place we're from, and she was DMing me on Instagram, and I was like, hold on a second, it sounds like you have EDS. She went to her doctor, she had EDS.
No.
And I was like, see, Jordan, like, I can diagnose people, but it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you live with it for so long, and you get used to it, and, like, sometimes accepting it is hard. I definitely went through a phase, but it was, like, when I was so, so young, which is, like, a very different experience. Like, I was, like, 6, 7, like, crying in my bed to my mom, being like, why me? Like, very, like, sad and frustrated. And, like, being like, oh, my friends don't have what I have. And my friends can, like, play all day. And
but I feel like our mom's response to you was always really great.
Yeah, yeah. I was always, like, it's always, like, people always are dealing with things that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, as, like, a six-year-old, that's really hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, our mom definitely was, like, really great about, like, being like, but this is, like, really cool, and you have this, like, cool story that you can tell, and you can share with other people, and that sort of thing. So I went through, like, a radical acceptance when I was, like, probably 10, which is so young to be, so young to be going through that. But, like, now as an adult, I'm always, like, so excited to tell people my story and be like, this is what I've, like, gone through, and, like, this is, like, there's people living with things that you can't see at all.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. And
it's kind of interesting, too, because, like, when you open the door, it's, like, all of these people start coming. I mean, have you met many people that have said, oh my gosh, I'm experiencing something similar, or I have this thing, and what do you do?
Yes. Oh, like, as soon as I became vocal about it, even on, like, social media, I had people coming just left and right, like, oh, I have this, or I know this person who has it, here's a great resource. And that was so helpful, because at, you know, the beginning, I was like, I don't know anybody with this, you know,
never and not even heard of it before.
Exactly. Yeah. And now, and I am just like you, where I hear people with certain symptoms, I'm like, you should get your thyroid check.
Yeah.
Ask for a full panel.
Yeah.
You know?
And let they me think tell I'm you crazy. What you need to ask.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, and it's interesting, because a lot of the symptoms are just like, they could be tied to so many different things.
Right.
Yeah. Right. But you know, when you get so passionate about something, when you're like, I've walked through this and I want to help other people. Like, I know what it's like to be on the other end of, like, getting help with it, that you get excited and you want to help people, right?
Yeah, and you've, like, you've pushed so hard for a diagnosis for so long, and you're like, I can help you with just, like, this. Like, this is all you have to do.
Right. And I did have, like, one gal who would reach out about some of the symptoms she had, and, like, it related to so much of what I said, and she, I think, was first diagnosed with hypothyroidism as well, and I was like, you should ask for a full panel, and she did, and she does have Hashimoto's, like, she came back with that, and so...
Is that common?
Well, that's the thing, is, like, it really shows initially as, like, hypothyroidism, because that's when it's gotten so bad that, you know, it's more evident now, right? And, you know, you probably had Hashimoto's for years, right? But, like, you never knew that you had them, because the symptoms were somewhat manageable.
Right.
And then it got to the point where, like, it can show more on test results, where it's, like, you're not producing the hormones you need.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's more common that I think a lot of people won't know that they have it until it gets so bad that it's done so much damage to your thyroid. You're kind of at a point where it's, like, now you really have to, like, take care of yourself and do treatment and all this stuff. So it is better off if you can get it at the beginning, like, identify what it is at the beginning. But how would you know unless you were like, I want a thyroid panel done, right?
Yeah, just to check.
Just to check.
Yeah.
Which it is, like, you know, just like a lot of things, like, it's genetic, too. Mm-hmm. So if you have a family history of thyroid issues, which I found out later that I did. And
you did.
So I was like, oh, man. I should have looked into this more, but, you know, you don't know, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
So, it is genetic.
Mm-hmm.
So, does your mom have it? Is it more common in women?
It is. I had a couple uncles that had thyroid issues, and my grandma. And that's the thing, is you could say thyroid issues, but you wouldn't know the root of it, right?
Right.
Like, and I don't know the extent of it.
Especially the further you go back, the less they're testing for, the less they're diagnosing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it there's a genetic factor to it, but the onset could come out from different scenarios.
Gotcha.
So trauma's a big one. So if you've experienced something very traumatic, you could develop it. Mold, like if you live in a house with mold, or toxins in the environment. So that was like when I started changing my diet, I also eliminated a lot of my makeup products, hair products, like all of the stuff I would be putting on my body, and switch to natural products, because those get into your bloodstream and that affects like inflammation. And so That was, like, the first thing I did, and I noticed a huge difference in just the few things that I eliminated. So, switch over all my makeup, my body wash, my face wash, wow. like... And yeah. I obviously hair, I've dyed it now, so I need to find a more natural product for that. But, like, I did switch my shampoo and conditioner, lotions, all that stuff, and noticed a huge difference. Even in my acne, that was, like, the number one thing.
For sure.
So, and then another one that could onset Hashimoto's is stress. Okay. So there's a lot of different factors that could just cause it. And if I were to identify where when mine came, I would say it was out of trauma because that's when I started really noticing all the symptoms. So it's like, it's kind of like you have that underlying thing and then it kind of gets woken up by it. Right, exactly. Right,
yeah. And the domino effect.
Right, or you're more likely to get it
right.
if, you know, something like that, if you're exposed to something like that. So
teen years.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you about that?
Yeah.
You okay with that?
I'm definitely okay with that.
So, your trauma, when that happened, do you mind telling us what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll try to do a snapshot. I could give, like, a whole detailed story.
It's up to you.
But, yeah, so when I was 17, I was the driver in a car accident that killed my boyfriend, Donovan. And there was no, like, drugs or alcohol involved, but, you know, we were just coming home late from a movie one night and just being kids, right? Like, blaring music up really loud, speeding. And one of the boys in the back had, like, jokingly made a comment, like, because we lived out in the country. And so we would go down, like, these old country two-lane roads and it was very easy to like speed down them and it was like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to get everyone home. I had a car full of, you know, kids, and, you know, my car was kind of going back and forth a little bit because of the speed of how fast I was going. And one of the boys in the back made the comment of, you know, oh, if you hold the wheel straight, the car will go straight, kind of like joking with me. And with my personality, I tend to joke back. And so I said, oh, like this, and jerked the wheel back and forth, not realizing that how fast I was going, just that small movement caused my car to go completely out of control. And that's when we ended up hitting a tree in the orchards in the country that we were at, and spun and hit another tree. And that's when I realized the boys that were in the back seat of my car were not wearing their seat belts, because I could see them now in front of me.
Okay.
And I was stuck in the car. So it took, they call it the jaws of life, to get you out of the car. But what I share a lot in my story that's kind of been a big part of it is what happened after that, was the response to what happened from Donovan's family. Obviously, going through something like that, and in the moment, you're thinking, okay, everything's fine, everybody get back in the car, everyone, let's just move on, right? Like, nothing terrible really happened. Like, we can cover this up, right? Like, just pretend like everything's okay. But it really wasn't. And so Donovan had died on impact that night. But just hours later, after that, Donovan's family asked to see me in the hospital. And when they came to see me, they told me that they loved me and that they forgave me. And that was the first time I experienced what unconditional love was.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's kind of what led me to where I'm at now with my faith and my journey with Christ. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about trauma and what can come after that. I mean... There was a lot of, I was diagnosed with PTSD and depression and on all kinds of medication to help me sleep and function, let alone dealing with a physical issue, because I broke my femur and pelvis. So on medication for that as well. But yeah, that's what I experienced. And
And so I think knowing that, it makes a lot of sense as to why it wasn't until you were having your kids, because you had a lot of other things to focus on in yourself, in your healing, in your growth, in, you know, your recovery and the process of that. So it makes so much sense that it wasn't until you were
pregnant. Yeah, there's so many other things that you could be like, oh, I'm depressed. Well, like,
Duh, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and or that's exactly I'm fatigued. It.
Like, it's exhausting to be depressed, and it's exhausting to heal, and...
Yes.
I think it's really amazing and really cool and great for people to know that you can utilize so many things. You're utilizing medical professionals. You're utilizing natural, you know, you're going to a naturopath. Is that how you
yes.
say it?
Yes.
And then your foundation, which is your faith.
Right.
And so I think it's really cool when, you know, you can talk about all these things that help you, and it's not, doesn't have to be just one thing. I mean, it's right. other, it's family, it's like a really awesome support system, and,
Yeah, and that's so important. And and I'm a huge advocate for mental health, even knowing like the root of where my depression comes from. I mean, let alone the trauma itself has been something. I mean, I've gone to therapy for 9 years, you know, off and on. And in it currently, you know, going to a therapist, and that's been extremely helpful. And so that's another avenue as well. That I'm very passionate about, but you know, you can identify that like, I've dealt with depression because I dealt with this trauma from years ago, but like that trauma is what triggered a lot of those things, right? Yeah. Like where the root of Hashimoto's, but depression comes out of that, you know, so it can be a bunch of contributing factors.
It's like a domino effect, and you know, sometimes you'll see that it falls in the middle, but you have to go back and figure out, well, where did it start?
Right.
Well, you had this in your body happening. You had family members that had already experienced different thyroid issues. And so then when you go back, you figure out what is the root of it. Mm-hmm. And maybe
it is the mind body connection too. Yeah. That's, I feel like that's so strong. Like both of us, when we first got diagnosed, the first conversation was, okay, like, this is really hard to go through, and this is a chronic illness, and you're going to have this for the rest of your life. So it's really important that you seek mental health care just as much as you seek physical health care. So seeing a therapist, if you need to be on antidepressants, then that's okay too. And kind of like taking care of your whole body, including your mind, is so crucial. And I feel like it's not really talked about enough, because when you talk about chronic illness, a lot of it is like, this is my diagnosis and this is the medications I'm on and things like that. And then you talk about mental health and it's a totally separate conversation, but they're so intertwined and so important to focus on both at the same time. And I feel like I've learned that a lot just in the last couple of years. And obviously I've been in therapy my entire life. Like as soon as I got my diagnosis when I was like 10, which I had chronic illness before, but I got my main diagnosis when I was like 10 or 11, and right away my doctors made it very clear that it was important for me to be in therapy, and I feel like it's even more important than you realize. Like when I started, I was like, sure, like this is just a thing that I have to do, blah blah blah, whatever, and then actually doing it, I feel like it's so crucial.
Yeah, you have to take care of mind, body, and spirit. All of it.
Especially because it feels so isolating when you have something like that.
So isolating.
That people don't understand, right? Like, even when I try to explain it to my husband, like, it's hard for him to comprehend.
Same,
you know?
Girl. Like, I know you really want to, you know, and they want to understand and be empathetic and be supportive, but it really is something that...
It's like the same thing you were saying earlier, is like, you
never understood.
I didn't
know until I had it. I didn't understand how Claire felt.
But it's so important to find those people that are going to be on your team and at least try to understand.
And even having like a community of people who just have chronic illnesses in general, because even I listened to your guys' like first podcast, and I was like, I told my husband afterwards, I was like, I felt like I related so much to what they said. I don't even have what they have, but like the fatigue, and like you guys shared about like the shower, like how hard it is to just take a shower. I'm like, I feel
the
that.
Worst place to be found.
I laughed so hard at that. But I mean, it just, you feel like you can relate to people when you're like, okay, someone else feels this of, like, you know, the struggle. And it may not be the same exact struggles, but you're like, someone gets me.
Feels a little less alone. Know.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And just, like, the struggle of it. Because for, you know, so many years, I just felt like I was just, like, lazy or something. Or I had no motivation. And that was really frustrating. I'm like, why can't I be more like my husband, who has, like, he, all like, cleans and is world. So good. Yeah, has energy, yeah. Can wake up, like, you know, at the crack of dawn and just be ready to go. And I'm like, I want to nap every day, you know? Yeah. Like, I just, like, the motivation and the energy. Like, I think the energy is the hardest part. And now identifying of what it is, like, you feel, like, a freedom, a sense of freedom of, like, okay, this is why I'm like this. It's not because, like, there's something, like, wrong with my personality or something, or I'm just not motivated, or I'm lazy. Like, no, I have a condition, and this contributes to that.
Did you experience, for me, I experienced relief and then grief.
I mean, I don't know if I experienced grief so much, but probably more relief of, like, I can identify, like, there's an answer to this, right? Yeah, there's a reason why it's like this, because I think I just felt like I experienced the symptoms for so long without knowing what it was, that it felt more, like, relieving of, like, oh, thank God, like, I'm not, there's not just something, like, wrong with my personality or something. We know
what we're going
to
be treating.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a name to put on it.
Right. And then I can do things to help with it. Like, that's a sense of freedom as well of, like, okay, I can be an advocate for myself and I can contribute to, like, helping in my healing. Like, there's ways to, not full healing necessarily. Yeah. It's not going to go away, you know, but I can help manage the symptoms at least.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Management, which is what we're all doing.
Yes. Yep.
Always.
I do have resources, you know, some good resources.
Okay.
If you would like me to share those.
So tell us.
So Dr. Weston Childs, he is, like, a huge advocate for, you know, thyroid issues, like, across the board, specifically, like, Hashimoto's. And so he puts out, like, endless amounts of resources, videos, like, any questions that people would have about Hashimoto's or thyroid, you know, disorders. He's, like, my go-to.
Like, an Instagram or...
He has, like, a website.
Okay.
I subscribe to his emails. Okay. So I get emails all the time, and I'm like, that sounds so nerdy, right?
But no way. Like, it's self-care.
Totally.
Yeah. And I feel like with chronic illness, we're all grasping at straws, just looking for any information we can get, because there's not much out there.
Exactly.
Okay, so say his name one more time.
So Dr. Weston Childs.
Okay.
And he has dedicated his life to helping people with thyroid issues. So
very cool.
Highly recommend. There's an Instagram that I follow that has a lot of good resources called Hope with Hashimoto's. And so there's a lot of other people who are big advocates, you know, now on social media that talk about, you know, their illnesses, but that one provides a lot of resources. So Hope with Hashimoto's.
No underscore or anything. Just...
It's like Hope underscore with underscore Hashimoto's.
Okay. Perfect.
And those will all be linked in the show notes.
Yes.
Perfect.
Okay. So we're going to ask you the three random questions. Okay. Favorite place on earth?
Oh, gosh. It's going to sound so simple, but Morro Bay. That's we go there a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could say that.
Yeah, you can. Okay. The ocean is
the ocean, the beach. Wonderful. Hence my ocean tattoo.
Yes,
but
I love
the beach. So Morro Bay is just where we've gone for family vacations all the time, and it just kind of feels like another
special
home.
And home.
It does.
I love the garden store they have there.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
So we've gotten one plant from there, and he's still alive.
Okay, good.
But his name is Fifi.
Oh, okay.
It's a fiddle leaf. It's a miracle we've kept it alive, honestly.
Yeah. Good for you. Those are hard.
They are. I had one, and I couldn't keep it alive, so I donated to my mom. Yes. I was like,
she's better at it.
I was like, will you adopt this? Because I can't keep it alive.
They're kind of picky.
They really are. And they need a lot of, like, specific specialty, like, sprays.
Right?
And
they like to be shaken.
Yes. Yeah. They don't want to be moved. Like, you can't move locations.
They're very finicky.
Yes. Yeah. So...
kind of like, you know, when you have a chronic illness.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. If you were, this one's silly, if you were a circus performer, which act would you be?
Oh my gosh. this, I'd probably be the ringleader because the announcer because I did acting for several years, so that would be my go-to is be the ringleader, I guess. Yeah, I don't have any other talent. That's
you're like, I could do that.
I could do that.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah.
What three things do you never leave the house without?
My water, my phone, my purse, I guess. Which, I mean, those are pretty basic, but you know, I always have, and I could probably add coffee in there. I have multiple beverages in my hand all the time, like at least three.
That's how we are.
Yeah. And and I get teased all the time at work because I'm leaving work with like a handful of all these beverages that are half drinking. You know, I got my coffee, got my water, got my sparkling water.
I need options.
Yeah, exactly. I want options.
So good. Thank you so much for sharing your story with
thank
us.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing two stories with us.
Thank you. Yes. I'm honored to be on here. And it was so great getting to know you ladies and talk with you. So
it was so fun having you here. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you.
All right. Bye. Bye.